I'm Peggy Goodman, and I'm the former chair of the Family Violence Prevention Forum, which is the group sponsoring this session. We have a sign-in sheet for anybody who's interested to get on our mailing list. If you've already signed up, you don't have to, but I would appreciate if people would pass it around. We also have brochures about the forum for anyone who's interested. And our mission is to break all the silos between all the different sections, because we realize that virtually every section has some bearing on family violence, whether it's HIV, AIDS, alcohol, tobacco, other drugs, epidemiology. Virtually everyone, even if it's not number one or two on the priority list of a section, there are many of us in these different areas who do address the issue of family violence, and this allows us to talk to others with a similar interest. My guest speakers today are Margaret Brome, who is from CDC, and Jessica Hill, who's also from the CDC Centers for Disease Control. Beth Morocco from UNC Chapel Hill was going to be a speaker as well, but she had to go to a project in the Congo. So I'll be presenting the North Carolina Delta Project. We'd like you to hold questions till the end. All of us will be available at the end. And Margaret Brome is from the National Center for Injury Prevention and Control, CDC. And she's a senior public health advisor at CDC and is the team leader in the branch which oversees many state health department grants and domestic violence coalitions. And Delta and Delta PrEP are within her area.
Thank you, Peggy, and welcome everyone. I realize that there are so many options that you could select from. It's really heartening that you selected this session this afternoon. So welcome. Today I am going to be spending some time just sharing with you some information about our work at the Division of Violence Prevention, which is in the Injury Center, and also give you a general overview of our Delta and Delta PrEP projects. And then I'm thrilled that Peggy is going to be able to talk to you in more detail about some of the community work that is being initiated through Delta. And then Jessica is going to be talking more specifically about our wonderful Delta PrEP project. So I was told that I was supposed to do this, so here you go. So hopefully you saw the objectives for today's session. Really, we want to share with you information about CDC's work in improving primary prevention efforts, particularly around intimate partner violence, and highlight some of the work of Delta and Delta PrEP. So as I said, I'm going to be talking more broadly about the national perspective and CDC's work in addressing violence prevention, and then we'll take it from there. So it's interesting because a lot of people actually don't even realize that CDC is involved in violence prevention efforts. And typically when CDC decides to address a particular topic, they look at the magnitude of the problem, the public health burden, and the opportunity for prevention, specifically primary prevention. And certainly when we think about violence, there is a huge burden with respect to violence. If you, and I'm going to hand this out, and I don't need it back, so whoever's the last one can get to keep it. But when you look at the top leading causes of death in this country, what you'll find from ages 0 all the way up to ages 65, homicides are listed as one of the top 10 leading causes of death. When we look at intimate partner violence more specifically, about 10% of all homicides are related to intimate partner violence. So it is a huge, huge public health burden. I certainly encourage you, the graphics that I handed out are available at the booth, so I certainly encourage you to visit the CDC booth and get a lot of really great information. The other thing that I wanted to share, even though we have this information, obviously data with respect to intimate partner violence and violence in general is quite limited. That is a huge challenge with the work that we do. And I wanted to put a plug in for our NISPIS survey that is going to be released November 15th. This is really a huge surveillance system that CDC has supported. Many of you might be aware that typically when we think about violence and the data that we use is typically from a criminal justice focus, and this particular surveillance system is really the first public health initiative that will look at intimate partner violence, sexual violence, and stalking. We anticipate having a huge release of the first wave of data in November 15th, so less than a couple of weeks from now. So I definitely encourage you to listen out for that information. It will be available. There are going to be some handouts that are available. I would imagine that ultimately some high-level data will be available on our website, so you can look out for it, and you can certainly contact me or anybody at CDC for more information. So in the Division of Violence Prevention, that's my place here. In the Division of Violence Prevention, we really focus on primary prevention. This is a really key concept for us, and the work of Delta and Delta Prep really focuses on this particular concept. So this particular slide here just highlights some of the major differences between primary prevention and intervention. And when you think about the work that has been done historically in intimate partner violence, it's been more the intervention side, right? There's a really strong emphasis in supporting victims after the fact and perpetrator accountability. So while that is critical to the work of intimate partner violence and violence prevention in general, as public health professionals, I think we all recognize the importance of going upstream and focusing on primary prevention, stopping violence before it occurs. So this is just a nice graphic that highlights the difference. So when we talk about primary prevention, it's preventing violence from initially occurring, whereas on the intervention sides, the focus is on supporting victims after the fact. Really a big, huge focus on changing conditions that support IPV from happening in the first place, rather than on the intervention side, which is responding to intimate partner violence. There's a huge, huge emphasis on promoting and changing conditions that allow intimate partner violence to occur in the first place, and promoting behaviors that you want others to adopt. So those are some of the key differences between the work that we do and promote at CDC versus the historical work, which again is crucially important, but we feel that we'll never get ahead of the curve. We'll never actually get to a place where there is no intimate partner violence if we don't start looking at primary prevention for these issues. I think this is a slide that you see at any CDC presentation, the public health approach, and certainly we at CDC talk with our grantees, Delta and Delta Prep, about the importance of the public health approach, not only the work that we do at CDC, but as state agencies start working on these issues and communities start working on these issues, we really like to focus on the importance of really being strategic about the work and how it's approached. So obviously for intimate partner violence, it's important that people understand what it is, how big the burden is, who the people are that are at risk for intimate partner violence, understanding the risk and protective factors that are associated with violence, or in this case, intimate partner violence, really testing and identifying prevention strategies that might work to address the issue, and then ensuring widespread adoption. And while there is an arrow that's going one way, it is really important to understand that this is an iterative process, and that, you know, what we learn from the field is fed back in, and we use that to then identify what other research we need to do and what programs needed to be developed and refined to continue continuous quality improvement to better address intimate partner violence. Another model that we often talk about with our grantees or with any of the stakeholders that are looking to address violence, and in this case, intimate partner violence, is a social ecological model. This model recognizes that intimate partner violence or any form of violence is not a single, there's not one particular factor that causes it to exist in the first place, and hence there is a need for a lot of different strategies to address this problem. So when we talk with our grantees and the communities about looking to really work on this issue, we talk about the importance of the social ecological model, and it's not only important to try to change individual behaviors, attitudes, etc., but you really need to take a comprehensive and a holistic approach. So when you look at this slide, it indicates some of the risk factors men have for abusing their intimate partner. So here you'll see things like at an individual level, the age of the potential perpetrator, if there's heavy drinking involved, if there's depression, personality disorders, low academic achievement, low income, and witnessing or experiencing other forms of violence. When you think about it from the relationship level, those couples that are involved in marital conflict, if there's instability, whether a particular male has grown up in a male kind of dominated environment and they kind of espouse to that, that's also a risk factor. Economic stress can certainly be a factor that contributes to intimate partner violence, poor family functioning. When you think about community factors, such things as weak community sanctions. So if you're in a community and it's very clear that, you know, you'll see men abusing women and there seems to be no consequence, then obviously there's a greater likelihood that that type of behavior will continue. Low social capital is also another community factor. When you think of the societal factors that influence intimate partner violence from occurring, huge macro level issues. So gender inequality is a huge one. Policies that tend to allow intimate partner violence to occur in the first place. So when we talk with our grantees, both Delta and Delta Prep, this is the view, this is the frame that we want them to really consider. I think there's a famous quote, and I'm not going to remember who it is at this time, who said that no epidemic has ever been solved by just addressing the needs of individuals, right? It takes huge system level change, huge policy changes, and that's the approach that we take as well when we think about addressing intimate partner violence. So when I'd say that we've been involved in the primary prevention of intimate partner violence at CDC for probably about 9-10 years now, and the focus of our work has been in working with our grantees to understand the benefits that primary prevention brings and really having them infuse that in their work. So this is an exciting slide, I think, and I have to thank Jessica. Jessica helped put this slide together. So I think we've been really harping on the importance of primary prevention in this work for several years now, and it's really exciting to see that over the last 9-10 years, how much different state health departments, domestic violence coalitions, community-based organizations have really started to embrace primary prevention efforts. So the map that you see there reflects the 14 Delta programs that we have, Delta PrEP, RPE, which is our sexual violence prevention initiative that's in all 50 states. Empower is also a sexual violence initiative that really focuses on building capacity to do that work. We've had some teen dating violence initiatives that we have supported over the years, but it's also exciting to see other agencies, other national organizations like the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Family Violence Prevention Fund, and others also support primary prevention work. And in looking at the type of work that they're doing, it's very much in sync and in line with public health approaches and this whole view of the need to not only address individuals but to really look at communities and what's happening at community levels, thinking about policies that address this work and really macro big system changes. So I'm really, really, really excited about this work. Okay, so now, more specifically, I wanted to talk about Delta and Delta PrEP. So, does anybody know what Delta stands for? And the people that work at CDC can't answer. It's catchy. I like it. Okay, so Delta actually stands for Domestic Violence Prevention Enhancements and Leadership Through Alliances. And there the focus is on prevention, primary prevention, and alliances. And these alliances, for the most part, are at the state and community levels. The communities are really key in this work. And Delta PrEP, which is another initiative, stands for the same thing, but PrEP, that PrEP part really focuses on 14 domestic violence coalitions that haven't been funded for the 9 years. They've been funded for about three and a half years at this point, and we work with them to really prepare them to do this primary prevention work. So the PrEP part stands for preparing and raising expectations for prevention. And again, thanks to Jessica, another map. And this just shows you our CDC funded initiatives. So the dark purple represents the 14 Delta states, and it is state domestic violence coalitions that are funded by CDC to do this work. And the light purple are the 19 Delta PrEP states that are funded. And just so you know, those yellow circles represent combined DVSV coalitions. And the relevance there is that across the country over the last 3 to 4 years, domestic violence coalitions, sexual assault coalitions, and public health departments have been engaged in strategic planning around primary prevention of various violence against women issues. So again, there have been a lot of linkages and partnerships that have developed in doing this work. So when you look at the actual differences between Delta and Delta PrEP, what you'll see is that Delta PrEP is funded through the Family Violence Prevention and Services Act. Total funding is about $5.5 million. I would say the 14 coalitions get between $170,000 to $300,000 each a year to do this work. We've been working with them since 2002. Delta PrEP, which represents a private public kind of partnership between Robert Wood Johnson and the CDC Foundation, is funded at a much lower level. And really, the work there is very, very focused in looking at addressing organizational change to be better prepared to address primary prevention long term. So, you see here what Delta stands for. And the focus of our grantees' work over the last 9 years have been in working with them to address the prevention of first-time perpetration and victimization of intimate partner violence, reducing the risk factors associated with intimate partner violence, promoting the protective factors, and really trying to think about the evidence that supports the work that they do. We don't have a lot of evidence-based programs that address intimate partner violence, but a lot of communities are doing a lot of great work, and we are working with them to make sure the foundation of that work is at minimum theory-based and evidence-based. And again, to move from the focus of individual to think about it more comprehensively and looking at all areas of society to address this work. Continuous quality improvement is also a key part of the work that they have been doing, and then really thinking about long-term sustainability. This just kind of shares, this highlights kind of the phases of the work that they've been doing. So the important thing here in this slide is really to just kind of highlight the importance of communities in this work. So CDC funds domestic violence coalitions, who in turn give money to usually a local program, but the bulk of the work is done in what we call coordinated community response teams. These might be formalized or informal groups that come together. Historically, they've worked on supporting victims, but over the years, they've really looked at opportunities to infuse primary prevention approaches in their work. And this just kind of shows you a progression and some of the success of the work of Delta. When we first looked at how much of their work was primary prevention focused, we had them do a survey. And at that time, the local coalitions indicated that about 32% of them did some type of primary prevention work. But when we superimposed our definition of what primary prevention was, really less than 10% were actually doing that work. And you can see just 3 years later what a huge dramatic shift that has been. And it continues to go up. The other thing that I just wanted to focus on was this issue of empowerment evaluation. You might imagine for local programs, coalitions doing the work, evaluation wasn't a huge part of the work that they did historically. And obviously, there's a certain amount of tension and concern that is associated with doing evaluation. So CDC decided to really utilize an empowerment approach. And an empowerment approach is different in that the empowerment evaluator is part of a team. They work in the communities. They work with the coalition's participants that are working on this issue. And they really try to focus on the importance of community ownership, inclusion, community knowledge, really building capacity for communities to actually do this work. I have just some additional resources for you if you want to know more about the work of CDC and the work of our Delta projects. And I'm really excited to turn it over to Peggy to talk more specifically about some of the examples that we can share with you about Delta.